Hi, everyone out there, all you college football fans. This is the College Football Podcast, the fifth quarter. This is our 22nd episode. I'm your host, John Shomo. In this edition, we will review the two very competitive, very exciting semifinal games in the college football playoff that were played as we record this just a couple of days ago. And we'll preview, but not totally. I'm going to do a special preview issue probably this coming weekend, right before the championship game. But we'll take a sneak peek ahead and talk about a couple of other issues in the sport briefly before we get you out of here this week. Also, we have a question that I'd like some feedback from the audience from. We'll get to that toward the end of the podcast here today. First, let's start with the first semifinal game that was played at the Orange Bowl between the Notre Dame Fighting Irish and the Penn State Nittany Lions. It was a very interesting game to watch, back and forth. Penn State looked really good early. Notre Dame looked shaky. They came back. Penn State grabbed the lead again. And toward the end of the game, I'd say with 5 minutes to go, Penn State looked pretty good. Penn State's mistakes in the last 5 minutes kind of bring back the label that James Franklin has been looking to shed all these years, that quote-unquote big game James. Label. He didn't quite shed it this time. He's won a lot of games, but not a lot of games against really good teams, as we'll discuss here. There was a blown coverage in the Penn State secondary with under 5 minutes to go, which led to the tying touchdown, which was a 54-yard catch and run by Notre Dame's Jaden Greathouse to tie the game up at 24. Penn State then had the ball in their own territory in the last minute of the game, and then quarterback from Edina, Drew Aller, committed the cardinal sin. He threw off balance, late, and across the middle of the field. If you've been watching football for a long time, you know that those usually don't end well, and this one didn't. It was intercepted by Notre Dame defensive back Christian Gray with 33 seconds left on the clock. A couple of running plays later, Notre Dame was in field goal position to win it, and Mitch Jeter kicked a 41-yard field goal to win the game for the Fighting Irish. Puts them in the national championship game for the first time since January of 2013, following the 2012 season. I find it fascinating that former Notre Dame coach, Brian Kelly, left Notre Dame 2 or 3 years ago. And on the way out, he said he wanted to go somewhere where he could compete for a national championship. He didn't feel like he could do that at Notre Dame. Well, he's at LSU now, and they haven't even made the playoffs since he's been there. And here's Marcus Freeman and the Notre Dame Fighting Irish in the national championship game in a week or so. Kind of interesting. We mentioned James Franklin. He's now 4-20 at Penn State versus top 10 teams, 1-15 versus top 5 teams. The only win was the fluky win against Ohio State in 2016, where Penn State blocked a field goal. The ball bounced right up to one of their people, and he ran it back 70 yards or so for the go-ahead touchdown in the final minutes of that game at Penn State. That's their only win against top five teams. They've lost all other 15 games in that situation. They had zero receptions by wide receivers in the game against Notre Dame. I don't know what the problem is there. Julian Fleming, former Ohio State wide receiver, transferred to Penn State this year. He caught dozens of passes while he was at Ohio State. He was just behind a whole room of great receivers there. You'd think they could get the ball to a guy like that once in a while. I don't know what the problem is. I'm not the X's and O's guy, but there zero receptions by wide receivers in a semifinal. That's hard to live with. Penn State seemed, when they came out with the brackets, to have the easiest path to the semifinals. They drew SMU and then Boise State. Not to take anything away from those two schools, they had outstanding seasons. Ashton Gentry's a great player and so forth. But that path was easier than the other three teams that got to the semifinals, for sure. So I think some of the questions were erased, but some still remain as to James Franklin's tenure there at Penn State. That would have been a big game win, and he didn't get it at the end. Had it within his grasp with 5 minutes to go, and they couldn't finish the deal. So anyway, there's Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish, storied history and all, will now be in the championship game for the first time in 13 years. We'll move to the second game, the Cotton Bowl game, played on Friday night between the Ohio State Buckeyes and the Texas Longhorns. This was a battle between two of the top five defensive teams in the country all season, and the fact that the score was 14-14 after three quarters really shouldn't have been much of a surprise to anybody. These two teams played defense all year. They played really good defense in the Cotton Bowl game. Coach Sarkisian of Texas, decided to take Jeremiah Smith, the Buckeye wonderful freshman wide receiver, just take him away. They doubled and sometimes tripled him, bracketed him at all times. He had one catch for 3 yards. And it did alter the Buckeyes' offense somewhat. They had to go in other directions for big plays. And as we said, Texas has one of the top five defenses in the sport this year. Ohio State may have the best. So that low-scoring deal into the fourth quarter shouldn't have been much of a surprise. But the number one defensive unit, as we said, in FBS wears scarlet and gray. The sequence with under 4 minutes to play, where Texas got the ball and drove to the Ohio State one-yard line, had it first and goal at the one, that sequence is going to live forever in the storied history of Ohio State football. They stuffed the running back for no gain on first down. They swarmed an ill-advised attempt. They tried to run wide, Texas did, on second down, and the safeties and the defensive backs ran up and tackled the running back for a 7-yard loss on the second down play, which all of a sudden puts them third and goal at the 8. Jack Sawyer tipped a pass, which may have saved a pass interference penalty in the end zone. Once the ball's tipped, it's up for grabs. He tipped the ball intended for the corner of the end zone on third down. And then on 4th and 8, you have what I consider to be one of the top five all-time Buckeye plays, made by senior defensive end Jack Sawyer from Pickerington, Ohio, who tackled Quinn Ewers, his former Ohio State roommate, tipped the ball. The ball bounced once right up to Sawyer, and he rambled down the sideline 82 yards for the clinching touchdown, if you will. The other plays that might be in that category that come to mind for me would be the Holy Buckeye pass from Craig Krenzel to Michael Jenkins at Purdue in 2002 on fourth down, trailing 6-3 with under 2 minutes to go. And Ezekiel Elliott's 85 yards through the heart of the South run against Alabama in the January 1st, 2015 Sugar Bowl. I would guess I should include also one that I saw in person, the sequence where the spot was good against the Wolverines on fourth down in double overtime, followed up about 25 seconds later by Curtis Samuel's cutback run to the end zone to win that fantastic game in double overtime in 2016. Those plays come to mind, but this play's right up there, the play that Jack Sawyer made. And it'll be even more famous in Ohio State lore if they can go on and win this thing. The fact that Sawyer and Ewers were roommates at Ohio State just added to the drama of it. They said something to one another and smiled after the game. You know, that stuff's just awesome. We should also mention the screen pass right before the end of the first half. Texas tied the game at 7. Ohio State had the ball after the kickoff at the 25 with, I don't know, 30-some seconds to go. You thought they might even take a knee. They decided to throw a screen pass, which they almost never do. Ryan Day said that they have a screen pass drill every week in practice, but he kind of laughs and says, but we really almost never run it in games. Well, they ran an honest-to-God screen pass to Travion Henderson, and it was so there for him that the offensive linemen were looking around for somebody to block as they ran down the field. Henderson took it to the house 75 yards right after Texas had tied the game. That play stands out. We shouldn't forget that play as we go over this game. But Ohio State wins 28-14. Great game. Texas is a tremendous team. Sark's a great coach. But it puts the Buckeyes in the final now against the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, two Midwestern powerhouses that have only played each other, I think, 8 times. We'll run that down on the next episode of the fifth quarter, the history between Ohio State and Notre Dame. I did see one really funny thing on social media. A couple of people were talking about the matchup in the championship game. And a couple of people who obviously don't know him much about college football said, well, Columbus, Ohio and South Bend, Indiana, the TV executives must be hating this. Those aren't major markets. People won't watch that. Hey, dude, are there two bigger brands in college football than the Ohio State Buckeyes and the Notre Dame Fighting Irish? I'm not sure there are. I think the people at ESPN are thrilled with that matchup, and it will do tremendous numbers, I think, in the TV ratings. If you know anything about college football, I think you understand that. One more footnote about the Texas-Ohio State situation. The regular season for 2025 will open for those teams at Ohio Stadium on August 30th as Texas visits the Ohio State Buckeyes. Now, the teams will look a little different, I'm sure. I know a lot of the Ohio State players will be gone. A lot of them came back for their last year this year. Arch Manning will likely be the starting quarterback for Texas in that game. So that's just a that's just an interesting little footnote there. They will open the 2025 regular season against each other in Columbus on August 30th. Okay, a couple other things here of note. As we now look at that Ohio State-Notre Dame matchup, does it make us look a little differently at Indiana's season? Indiana Hoosiers, you know, they took a lot of flack for not playing a lot of tough teams during the season. Kurt Cignetti did a fantastic job. He was coach of the year. They won 11 games, including their bowl game, and lost two. Their two losses were, get this, at Ohio State and at Notre Dame in the playoff. So the only two games they lost were the two teams that wound up in the national championship game. Maybe we should look a little differently at that Indiana season and give them a little more credit. Also, Carson Beck, the former now Georgia quarterback who was hurt in the SEC championship game and could not play in their playoff game in the college football playoff, he was going to go to the NFL draft. He declared for the NFL draft, and then he withdrew his name from that this past week, just a couple of days ago, and signed with the Miami Hurricanes for his final season of eligibility in college football. The reports are that he's getting somewhere between $3 and $4 million of NIL money to play one season at Miami. Now, he's a good, experienced college football quarterback. I don't know about the $3 to $4 million. That seems bit excessive, but we should expect excessive from the Miami Hurricanes if you know your history. I think helping the situation somewhat for Miami was that Carson Beck's girlfriend is a starter on the Miami University women's basketball team, so that may have something to do with it as well. Probably does. Anyway, that's interesting, and man, $3 to $4 million worth of NIL for him. I don't know about that. Good luck to him, though. You know, hopefully he heals up. You'd hate to see that injury. Okay. Now, we'll look back at our picks for the two semifinal games here. Last week, we made our picks. Notre Dame was a 1.5-point favorite in the Orange Bowl. I picked Penn State. Wrong of me to do so. We lost that one. Texas-Ohio State. Ohio State was a 6-point favorite. They won 28-14. We picked them. That's a win. So we split our two games, which gives us a record on our picks for the season on the Fifth Quarter Podcast. 41 wins, 31 losses, and a tie. We'll stand by that. That's pretty good. We'll make a pick on next week's episode as we get nearer to the national championship game. The early line on that game is Ohio State is a 9.5-point favorite. That's an awful lot in a national championship game. We'll see where that number settles before we make our pick on the next episode of the Fifth Quarter. There's attrition. There's injuries. I just did find out last night that Notre Dame's starting left tackle will not play in the national championship game due to injury. That's not a position you want, you know, to have an injury at. Ask the Buckeyes. They lost their All-American left tackle at Oregon in October. And had some, you know, it took some time for them to rehash that offensive line. Now, we have a question here that I want to throw out to the audience, and you're welcome to give your feelings and your answers to the question. Send us an email at our email address, which is threegoodquestions, T-H-R-E-E, threegoodquestions, at gmail.com. if you give us a good answer, we'll give you some publicity and throw your name out there on next week's podcast. How's that? Here's the question. How do you feel about the 12-team playoff format now that we've seen it for a season? Should we tweak it? Should there be big changes to the format? Or should we leave it alone for a little while and see how it plays out? Email your view on the 12-team playoff format to us at threegoodquestions@gmail.com, and we'll get your name on the air and we'll get your response on the air as well. So hopefully we get some responses from you. Give us a hoot on that one. Okay, that'll do it for the fifth quarter this week. Two games to go over, but they were really big ones. And again, we'll preview the national championship game in more detail on our next episode, and we'll make our pick for the national championship. This is John Shomo. Again, thank you for tuning in, for choosing us out there in the podcastosphere. This is the Fifth Quarter Podcast. Have a great week, everybody. Go Bucks.